recently, our company softball team lost the big game by one run. Then Dale tried to console us with the quote, "Winning isn't everything." Dale's a loser. I play to win, like early payout from Bet365. If my team goes up big, I get paid out instantly, even if they blow the lead later.
Sound familiar, Dale?
Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only. Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed,
"I found Nirvana! I win!"
They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $200 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We're streaming on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live. Chase McCain, Willie Donick, Derek Mason here with you. Nick Kieser behind the glass. Let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonKennyHyundai.com. Let's say hello to Wes Rucker, covers the Vols, 24/7 Sports. Wes, how we doing?
Doing all right. How y'all doing today?
We're doing fantastic. Cannot wait for this matchup, 2:30 on Saturday on CBS. The 6th-ranked Vols hosting the 3rd-ranked Crimson Tide of Alabama. And for the first time in a long time, this rivalry just feels like it should feel with the third Saturday in October, because both teams are very good. What is the hype like in Knoxville right now?
It's pretty high, guys. I mean, it's you know, there's no secret, really, since Nick Saban came to Alabama, you know, what was it, 2006, 2007, that combined with some of Tennessee's missteps sort of precipitated the fall of that Tennessee empire. You know, it's Tennessee's the only team in the East that's got to play Alabama every year, and that's just complicated the whole process of trying to get the program back to, you know, some sort of a level where you're competing for championships. And most of the time, frankly, they've gone on into this game as a heavy, heavy underdog for a reason. The only time they weren't a heavy underdog, I guess it was 2016, they were both top 10. Alabama blew the doors off of them in probably the worst game in the series. So, I think they're ready for this. You know, I think they feel like this offense gives them a chance. I feel like they're excited. They feel like they've got a chance in this one.
There's a lot of hype around Hendon Hooker. I mean, he's, you know, that it kind of started as that dark horse Heisman candidate. Now he's very much put himself in the conversation, and whatever happens this weekend, I think, is going to dictate a lot of where that goes. But I feel like Josh Heupel is very good at tempering expectations, kind of keeping everybody not too high, not too low. How have you seen that affect Hendon Hooker?
Well, I think what's interesting is I think that's a really natural thing for Hendon Hooker to feel. You know, that's just sort of his mentality. You know, it's kind of like he's been an old soul ever since he was a high school recruit years ago down in Durham, North Carolina. And, you know, what I think what's interesting when you think about it through this lens, I think it makes more sense. The older I get, the more these kids kind of look like kids to me. You know, I call them kids. They feel like, I know they're young men technically, but they feel like they're kids, right? They're babies with facial hair. And Hendon Hooker's 24 years old. I mean, Hendon Hooker is an old man by college football standards. He's like a BYU quarterback age. He's an older guy, right? Like, he could get cheaper car insurance pretty soon. And I think that sort of maturity that he's got, you know, through just the way he was raised and also being older, I think that helps him a good bit. And I think when your quarterback is your hardest worker in your program, that's a good thing. That's a really, really good thing. And then I think the way Heupel kind of pairs that is by being almost the same way. You know, every morning those kids walk in the complex at whatever it is, 7:30, to kind of get in there and get taped up for meetings and practice, because they get done early in the day. And he's right there, the first one when they walk in the door every day. He's the first one. He shakes their hand. He asks them how school's going, asks them how their girlfriend is, asks them how the parents are. There's just kind of an every day's the same mentality, and I think that's helping these guys.
Now, Wes, looking at this game, and I know this may seem like a sort of a crazy question, but considering, you know, who both teams have left on their schedule and the implications of potential playoff spot, who needs this win more? Because we have seen a one-loss team get into the playoffs.
We have. I would say probably Tennessee, and the reason I say that is because of benefit of the doubt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, let's imagine a scenario where Tennessee wins this game and then loses to Georgia, and then Alabama maybe beats Georgia in the SEC title game. You've got 3 1-loss teams, and as much as the playoff committee will easily put two SEC teams in, I don't think it's going to do 3 because the rest of the college football world would burn. And I don't think they'll do that.
Oh, but I'd love it, Wes. I would love it so much.
Well, I mean, a lot of people would love it. A lot of people would love it. I think more people maybe would not across the country. I could be wrong. But the bottom line is you would have sort of three dogs and 2 bones at that point. And who do you think is going to get left out there? Take out the resumes. Take out everything else. Who do you think would get left out there? So I think from that standpoint alone, you could say this means more to Tennessee. But I would also argue that if Tennessee is even in that conversation by the end of the year, that's a hell of a job that this staff would have done in 2 years.
Now, this D-line of the Vols, they finally picked it up this past game. Now, you can probably contribute that to LSU's offensive line woes. But I thought before the LSU game, that was going to be UT's Achilles heel. They couldn't get pressure on the quarterback, which meant their secondary had to cover a little bit longer. Do you think after last game with LSU, they can keep this up moving forward, that defensive line?
I think they have a chance to. You know, I really do. I think that, you know, if you look at the numbers, they had been putting up a ton of quarterback pressures in every game. What they hadn't been doing is getting home and finishing those as sacks.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that in this day and age, you can do all this quick game stuff, all these screens, every quarterback can move at least a little bit. It's hard to just kind of pile up sacks. You know, it's just hard to get them, harder than it used to be. But they found a way to do it against LSU, and statistically speaking, we all know what sack numbers do to drive percentages, right?
Mm-hmm.
To scoring percentages. They just take them off a cliff. And I think that is the key for Tennessee defensively, because I don't know how good they can get in the secondary by the end of this season. I just don't know if they've got the horses to do some of that stuff. What they can do, though, is help those guys by getting to the quarterback and blowing up plays, big plays, before they start. And that is Tennessee's best pass defense right now, is that front four and the blitzers. That's their best pass defense. I think they can keep, maybe it's hard to expect, like, what, 5-6 sacks mm-hmm. a week? You're not going to get that. But if they can just keep applying pressure and get 3 sacks a game, that's going to help a lot.
Wes, I realize that when I ask this question, it's so hard to get information on injuries or anything close to that. But your thought on what we're going to see from Bryce Young, presuming that he's ready to play, just coming back from an injury, you know, it's huge for them, for Alabama, to have him back in there. But do we think he'll be 100%? And how much can Tennessee maybe exploit him if he's not 100%?
Yeah, guys, I don't think he'll be 100%. If I had to guess, he'll try to play. It really depends on what that injury is. I mean, if it's one of those AC-type injuries, you know, it's pretty common for guys to throw football. I mean, it seems like half of every team in America has surgery to fix an AC or a labrum after the season, right? That's why you see all those guys wearing those big old braces, you know, those things on their shoulders. It seems like half the guys have them by the end of the season every year. That's just shoulders weren't meant for football. They just weren't. But if you're a quarterback and that's your throwing shoulder, boy, that complicates it, doesn't it? I mean, that it depends on what that injury is. And I think he'll try to play. But he's also, let's be honest, he's got to make a business decision here. You're talking about a first-round draft pick. You're talking about a guy whose future is worth millions and millions of dollars, and even more than the NIL money he's making now. So I know he's a competitive kid. I think he's going to want to play. But I also think you got people in his family saying, hey, man, is this definitely the right thing to do? So you've got some complicating factors there. And then even if Alabama loses this game, it has a bye week next week, and then it has the stretch for the regular season. So there's lots of compelling reasons to think they don't maybe need to play him in this game, no matter what happens. So long story short, I don't know. I would imagine he'll play. I cannot imagine he'll be 100% healthy if he does. And, you know, Tennessee defensive line, Byron Young, those guys, they're going to hit you. No matter what you do, they're going to hit you. And that would make me a little bit uneasy.
How do you see Alabama's overall roster compared to the last few years? Let's put Bryce Young aside, even though that's a huge factor we just talked about. But, you know, at Texas, they scramble to have to win. Texas A&M, that was a scare last week. Is this Alabama overall roster maybe down a notch?
It might be, guys. And what's interesting is there was a lot of talk going into the season about this being one of Saban's best teams. You know, you bring back the Heisman Trophy winner at quarterback. You know that they had a bunch of draft picks to replace, but you also brought back Will Anderson, who is one of the best defensive players that I think I've seen in this league. I mean, he is absolutely incredible. You could write entire books about just how freaking good that kid is. So you look at that, and then you think, well, Alabama usually just go, they plug and replace, and it's like Saban says, they just crap out another five-star, and there they go. And he complains about it all the time, but it's kind of true. And so you just kind of thought this team would have all the pieces, but it hasn't yet. And after getting that scare at Texas, you thought, okay, now they're going to figure it out. Then they have that scare at Arkansas where it gets a little bit more comfortable later, but it really was a scare for a while, and you think, okay, now they're going to figure it out. Then A&M, they're really lucky to get out of there. So it's like, at some point, are they going to get it? Are they going to flip the switch? I mean, history says that you bank on Saban to do that, but hadn't done it yet, and that's they're halfway through their regular season now. So that's a good question. I think it's probably fair to say that they are not the sum of their parts yet, but you know what? Neither's Georgia. So they've got time to figure this out. They just can't lose a couple times while they do it.
Yeah, it's certainly going to be interesting to kind of see this all play out because – to me, Wes, the only team that's close to being complete when it comes to the playoff picture is probably Ohio State. And then everybody else has some warts. So we'll see how it plays out. Hey, thanks for the time as always. Enjoy the game this week, and we'll do it again soon.
No problem. Anytime, guys. You know that.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.